The scripture today is Ezekiel chapter 47, 1 through 5, and Matthew chapter 25, 28 through 30. Ezekiel 47, 1 through 5. Then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen enough water to swim in, a river that I could not be forded. Matthew chapter 25, verses 28 through 30. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and members of those members who are attending this service through GCN and internet all over the world, in more than 10,000 branch churches, GCN viewing audiences, and children of Sunday school, this is the 17th session on God Measures Our Faith. The Pharisees asked Jesus if he was the Christ, and he said in 10:25 that the things that he did in the name of the Father proved him, but they didn't just believe. Jesus manifested the works, the miracles that only God can do, and show that He is the Son of God, the Christ. In the same way, true children of God must show the evidence of the deeds that are worthy of God's children. One of them is to fulfill their duties. It is also not to forget the grace they received and to give thanks continually. And how much of these deeds do you have? And they show. We go to heaven with faith. We are saved by faith. And how many evidences of faith do you have? How much evidence do you have? If you say you believe, what is your evidence? In Galatians 6:17, Jesus said, I have the brand marks of Jesus. And as he said, I hope you will also have the brand marks of Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters and viewing audiences in the Bible, Jesus mentioned many times the sins that are depriving of salvation. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, it says, a man went on a journey and called his slaves and gave them duties, and according to each person's capability, he gave he gave 5 talents, one to one person, and to another 2 talents, and to the other 1 talent. The one who received 5 talents went and did a merchandise and left 5 more talents, and the one who received 2 talents did the same and left 2 more talents. And this man refers to Jesus. If he went on a journey, means that he went to heaven after he resurrected. And the slaves are the children of God who are saved. First John 1:3 says, everything was created through him and nothing was made without him.
주님은 먼저 구원받은 우리에게 이 땅의 수많은 영혼을 구원하라고 맡겨 주셨습니다.
Jesus entrusted to us with so many souls to save. So Matthew 28:19 says, go and make everyone your disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and let them teach them whatever I told you and let them keep it. And behold, I will always be with you until the end of the world. The talents that the master gave to the slaves refers to the duties. Those who received five talents and two talents, they received, they went and did merchandise and they doubled what they had received. The duties that the Lord gave are directly or indirectly related to saving of the souls. Not just taking care of the souls directly, but even the choir or singing or other services are also related with the saving of the souls. Even though you don't think, your duties don't. Dear brothers and sisters, now how many talents have you received from the Lord? Namely, how many duties do you have? Also, how well are you performing your duties? Of course, the Lord does not force you to fulfill many duties. The Lord gives talents according to your abilities. He gives you duties according to the kinds of talents you have. And is there anybody who might think like, I am so short of given talents and I didn't have a chance to learn any skills or gain knowledge. So if the Lord considers these things, how can I receive any duties from Him? Here, the talents are not about physical talents like knowledge or skills. They refer to spiritual talents, namely faith, hope, and love. The spiritual talents refer to faith, hope, and love. With physical talents, we cannot conduct the business of the Spirit, which is to save the souls. We can do it with spiritual talents, namely faith, hope, and love. The more of these things we have, the better we can perform our duties. Namely, we can fulfill our duties well and save more souls. Let us think about why. First, the greater the faith you have, you will more confidently and passionately spread the gospel to the souls. It's because you believe so certainly that God is alive and heaven and hell surely exist. The greater the faith is, the greater the hope is too. You believe that you will receive more rewards as you fulfill your duties diligently and lead many souls to the Lord, and thus you have great hope. Having this hope, you want to fulfill more duties, and furthermore, you want to bear fruits by fulfilling your duties well. It's because the Lord promised us in Revelation 22:12, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. In today's reading passage, the man came back after a long time and settled the account with the slaves. The one who had received five talents and two talents doubled what they had received. But the one who had received one talent had only held onto that one talent. The man praised the two slaves who doubled what they had received, saying, "Well done, good and faithful slave." Good and faithful slave. Why don't we repeat it? Good and faithful slave. Also in Matthew 25:23 it says, "You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." He also promised that he would give more duties and also he would let them enjoy greater pleasure. This means that if we fulfill our duties well and save many souls, we will go into good dwelling places in heaven, and we will also be invited to the banquets given by God. Of course, all saved children of God will be invited to attend the beautiful banquet before they officially go into the kingdom of heaven. They will be invited to the 7-year wedding banquet that will be held after the Lord's coming in the air. How great the joy of that day will be! But among the saved children of God, those who fulfilled their duties very well will be invited to the banquet of God the Father, held in New Jerusalem, which is the best heavenly dwelling place. So the Bible tells us very well about what kind of blessing it is to save the souls. In a certain mission group, I emphasized many times, are you going to just sing praises? Maybe you can store up a lot of rewards by singing, but saving souls is the most important thing. So to save the souls, you have to be leaders in each mission group. And if you are praising God on the altar, it means your faith is recognized and you're it is acknowledged that God loves you, and so you should be the leaders and assistant leaders in mission groups and united mission groups to take care of the souls. So when you have to invest your talents and skills to save the souls. Of course, singing on the altar is related with saving souls. But more than that, if they can perform more duties, and they will become greater people, they'll be in higher and greater positions in kingdom of heaven, and God will give them very special gifts. So if they are loved by God, I hope that they will perform more duties to save the souls. And so I told them a couple of times, but if they don't obey, I can't insist. But because I love them so much, sometimes from time to time, I remind them. Those who have hope for this day can perform their duties with joy. They do not waste their time and money or their effort to take the worldly things that will perish and diminish. They invest all their possessions and abilities for things that are true, namely, eternal kingdom of heaven and heavenly glory and rewards. They can be faithful even to the point of death. On top of this, if they have love in their heart, they can show the kind of faithfulness that is most pleasing to the Father God. Those who have cultivated spiritual love will keep all the words of God completely. Especially, they will keep the two foremost of all commandments. These two are mentioned in Mark 12:30-31. The first is, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." And the second is, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So these are the two foremost of all commandments. Isn't it too easy? What is so difficult about it? What kind of love has God given to us? He gave even His only begotten Son as the atoning sacrifice, as the and to save us and to lead us to kingdom of heaven. He gave us His only begotten Son, and we received such love, and can't we keep such little commandments? Just this commandment to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and with all our strength. How can it be so difficult? Of course, obviously. And we have to love God, and if we love God, we will be loved by God. We will receive blessings to that extent. And why can't we just love God? Anybody can do it. And the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What kind of reason is there not to be able to love our neighbors? These are not some difficult commandments. Those who keep these two commandments sacrifice themselves to serve others in all things. They always work hard for the kingdom of God and the souls. On the contrary, those who do not have such faith, hope, or love do not have enthusiasm for their duties. That was the case with the slave who had received one talent. When the master came back from the journey, the slave who had received one talent spoke as follows. In Matthew 25, 24-25, he says, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." Hiding it in the ground means he just hid his duty in his heart and did not fulfill it. But what does James 2:26 say? It says, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." If the spirit leaves your body, it means you are dead. You are a corpse now. The body without the spirit is a corpse. It cannot breathe. The blood doesn't circulate. And there's no warmth. And it becomes cold. It's a corpse. So, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also without faith without works is dead. So if you say you believe and you have no deeds, it means you have dead faith. So with dead faith, what is the opposite of dead faith? Living faith. The faith accompanied with deeds is living faith. And faith without deeds is dead faith. So you should check whether you have dead faith or living faith. You say, "Oh, I believe," not just with words. If you believe, you show the evidence of your faith. Bear some fruits. Until now, you've been Christians for some people 90, 80, 70 years, 60, 50 years, 40, 30, 20 years. Some of you are born into a Christian family and you've been Christians for 60, 70, 80 years. And what is the evidence of being a Christian for such a long time? You just come and go. What kind of fruits have you borne? If you've really been a good Christian, the fruit is that you went into spirit. That is the evidence that you did well in your Christian faith. And those who did better, they must be in the Holy Spirit. And in this church, God, you always see the works of God, that God is here with us. You see the evidences all the time, so you can have great faith and your faith can grow up so quickly. And being in this church, and if you've been Christians for 20, 30 years, 40 years in this, 30 years in this church, and if you are not in spirit yet, why? So faith without deeds is dead.
즉 하나님을 믿는다고 하면서
Namely, if you say you believe in God but do not have the deeds of actually loving God, your faith cannot be considered true. The master said to this slave, "Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This means he will not go into heavenly kingdom, but to the outer darkness, which is hell. Namely, if you do not fulfill your duties properly, you cannot be saved. Brothers and sisters, of course, this passage does not apply to novices in faith. It applies to those who should have faith and who are leaders and workers in the church. Novices in faith, new believers, they do not really know the truth and they have just little faith. They can't really overcome this world. They don't have that great faith yet. But those who have been Christians for a handsome amount of time, those who are in the third level of faith, they must obviously take up the duties. This kind of message applies to those who are in the third level, and also maybe to those who are above 50 percentile of the second level of faith. It doesn't apply to fourth or fifth level of faith because they do live by the word of God anyway. They are already in spirit because they did what they were supposed to do. Especially pastors who have the duty that is directly related with saving and taking care of the souls should take heed in this passage. Proverbs 27:23 says, "Know well the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds." As this verse says, ministers should always know well the condition of the souls entrusted to them. They always have to pay attention to the souls. But if they seek their own comfort in their lives, thinking about what to eat, what to drink, and what to wear, how can we say they are really servants of the Lord? Also, ministers must supply the flock with the spiritual needs, including the spiritual bread, and take care of them. But sometimes, even though the souls are spiritually thirsty and hungry, they just leave them be, paying attention to other things. If the parents do not feed their children on time, or if you do not feed the animals you raise at home, even the worldly people will bring accusations against you. And if the ministers do not take care of the souls, how can they escape the rebuke of the Lord? Especially when you have the duties to lead the souls to heavenly kingdom. The Lord says these kinds of slaves are hired hands. They just get paid for their work. So what is the opposite of hired hands? John 10:12 says, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them." Hired hand is not a shepherd. So the opposite of hired hand is a shepherd. So it's whether hired hand or shepherd. So hired hands cannot be called shepherd. So some people, they were condemning us because even among the layman believers, there are people who work with all their lives loving God and the souls, expending all their time, money, and body and heart. And if you receive your pay from God and do not fulfill your duties properly, you are not a servant of the Lord, but a hired hand. In the Old Testament, Isaiah likened the leaders of Israel who are blinded by their own greed and not performing the duty of the shepherd to greedy dogs. Isaiah chapter 56 verses 10 to 12 says, His watchmen are blind, all of them know nothing. All of them are mute dogs, unable to bark, dreamers lying down, who love to slumber. And the dogs are greedy. They are not satisfied. And they are shepherds who have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each one to his unjust gain, to the last one. Come, they say, let us get wine, and let us drink heavily of strong drink, and tomorrow will be like today, only more so. How can such shepherds get into glorious places in the kingdom of God, even if they have the titles of ministers on this earth? But is there anybody who thinks like, I tried hard, but I have no fruit. My environment and circumstances were not good, and I was born with a heart that is not good? Or is there someone who says, I received only this little duty, which is not even important? It's not fair. I want to be passionate in my life in faith. I want to meet with God, and if I can hear His voice, in this church, there have been so many works, signs and wonders. They are the evidences of the living God. And do you really have to see God in person? And the Lord said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because He performed so many signs and wonders. And if you see the signs and wonders, it is same as meeting God Himself. Can't you meet God in person? If you see Him in person directly, you just disappear, you die. I mean, so that's why He can't show Himself to you. Because if a sinner dies, God, he will die. The sinner here means, you know, not to be a sinner, you must be blameless, spotless, and sinless. Only such people can see God. That's why people like Enoch, Abraham, so he saw one of the Trinity, not the Father God. And also Moses, he saw the Father God, but only the edge of the robe of God. Even such people, you know, Moses was more humble and meek than any person on the face of the earth, and he couldn't see God face to face. And people who are full of sins, they want to believe God. If they see God, they will die right away. And God cannot. That's why God can't show Himself. And they say this kind of nonsense. And there have been so many evidences in this church that show that God is living. There are so many things that man cannot do. The science cannot do. Medicine cannot do. Even in this year, you know, nobody can deny it. Even the press, they came and saw and witnessed, and nobody can deny it. In the first week of August, when you had the summer retreats, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the whole South Korea had more than 36 degrees Celsius. Everywhere in South Korea. And even at night, it was a tropical night. So hot. And not being able to sleep out. In your summer retreat places, locations, what happened? It was even cold. After the sunset, it was cold. You felt chilly. And that's why some of you, because you already knew it, it was going to happen. Some of you took some blankets or some long sleeves. So even when the whole country was suffering from such hot weather, you had such cool weather. You know, 22, 23 degrees Celsius, even below that. And in this year, in August,
개척 30년의 처음입니다. 8월 달에 항상 첫 주 둘째 주 비가 옵니다.
You know, in August in Korea, every year, first week of August we have rain in Korea. Every year. But we didn't have any rain this year. But the rain will drop the temperature by a couple of degrees. But even without the rain, your location, summer retreat locations, you had 27, 28 degrees Celsius, so you didn't feel any hot weather. It was cool, and you had such cool breezes, gentle and cool breezes. And in the evening, you will have the blankets, so it'll be like 22, 23 degrees. It was the most suitable weather and for your sports day. And these breezes, they make your heart feel cool. It's not like any air conditioner or any fan. Some people, they test it. So if you go outside the summer routine locations, soon it'll be so hot. It'll be more than 36 degrees Celsius. Only in the summer retreat location is cool. Just like the land of Goshen for the Israelites. God set apart this location. And also, many of you saw the moving of the stars. And even the mission delegation to Israel, they saw the moving of the stars. Sometimes they give out some lights. And the rainbows, and you always see. And what kind of strong aura lights you had? Before I went to the mountain, I promised you that this year you will see greater aura lights, stronger lights. And nobody can deny it. And it was done as God said he would. Not to mention the dragonflies, the mission delegation to Israel. In Israel, they don't know about the dragonflies because they barely have any dragonflies. But as our mission delegation went there, and these dragonflies are following these dragonflies everywhere. Look at those dragonflies, how many of them. And they land on their hands and legs. And God is showing us that I'm with you. So these many people, I believe none of you has bitten by any mosquitoes because you didn't have any moths or you didn't have any insects. So even at night, you can have barbecue party even at night under the lights. And you've seen so many times, every year, throughout the year. And you say, oh, where is God? If I meet him, I will not commit sins. If you see him, you will die. So, when we go to heaven, we can see God, but only those who go to New Jerusalem, at least third kingdom of heaven. Because they didn't have any flesh, any evil or sinful nature, so they can see God. But those who are in paradise, first, second kingdom of heaven, they still had flesh. They didn't cast off all flesh. So they accomplished only a part of the spirit, so they can't see God face to face. As in Hebrews chapter 12, pursue peace with everyone and sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. It's same both on this earth and in heavenly kingdom. If you do not have peace with everyone and sanctification with everybody, it means, if you do have that, it means you are in spirit. You don't have any evil or sinful nature. Then they are judging the master and giving an excuse, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. So those who listen to the truth and do not act, they just pass judgment and condemnation. And also they become envious and jealous because they don't practice the word. They don't practice the truth. They've been listening to the truth for 10, 20, 30 years, even though they have been Christians all their lives. They still do that because they have had that faith. Their spirit can't grow up. The Lord gives duties to each one according to his talents. Namely, he does not give a duty that one cannot actually perform. Of course, there are a few people who receive some duties that are beyond the level of their own talents. But in any case, once you have received your duty, you have to fulfill it with all your life. This is the will of the Lord. Also, whether it is wisdom or strength, if you ask anything for the kingdom of God without ulterior motives, he will give everything without reprimanding you. If you receive the strength of the Lord, even if you have only 80 units of ability, you can still perform to a level of 100 or 120 units. But if you do not even ask the Lord for more strength, or if you neglect your duties just because you are lazy, or because you like worldly things, you cannot escape the rebuke of the Lord saying, you are a lazy slave. If you love the world, then it means spiritually you are so lazy because you don't want to pray. You don't want to save the souls. You don't want to pray in the Daniel prayer meeting. You're too lazy to do that. You can't do anything spiritual. For physical things, you can do very well. You just go out and hang out with friends. But in spiritual sense, you're so lazy, you don't want to do it at all. This proves that you do not have any mind of thankfulness for the grace of salvation, that you do not believe in the power of God, and that you do not have hope for heaven. Namely, I hope you will understand that your attitude in fulfilling your duties is one of the measures to assess your spiritual faith. Also, I hope you will not think this message does not apply to you just because you are not ministers. If you have been avoiding duties because you feel burdensome, I hope you will demolish your frameworks of thoughts and your limitations. Those workers who have faith would want to take up more duties and become more faithful. God loves those faithful workers who ardently long for duties and work hard. In today's reading passage, to whom did the master give the talent that he has taken from the slave who had one talent? He didn't give it to the one who had two talents and made two more, but to the one who had five and made five more. Of course, this does not mean that you have to take up duties excessively, going beyond the measure of your faith. You sometimes need the wisdom to be discreet in taking up duties. It is also necessary for the church to give the chance to as many workers as possible, so that more workers will be raised. The important thing is the attitude of your heart. It is important to fulfill your duties with the desire to pay back the grace you received, with willingness to take the burdens together with your love for the Lord, and with the hope for the rewards that the Lord will store up in heaven for you. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters and viewing audiences, since I had accepted the Lord, I have experienced many things as I was fulfilling duties which were overwhelming. The duty to be a servant of the Lord was a duty that was really overwhelming for me. When I received a calling to become a pastor, I was worried that I was already too old and too introverted to become a pastor. But when I obeyed with an amen, God Himself led all my ways, and gave me overflowing grace and strength. You know, that's, in that situation, it was not easy to obey it. Anyway, my wife had to be making the, or had to be earning the living, and we had to pay so much debt that we had accumulated for the past 7 years because I was bedridden with the sicknesses. But when I obeyed with an amen, God told me to prepare myself with the word and prayer to become a pastor. And my wife, she was supposed to take care of the shop. Then our rice bowl will never, the jar of rice will never run out, and we, our box of money will never be empty. I didn't want to be disobedient, but I was just that, you know, I was already too, already old. And I, you know, because I have to get into the seminary college again. And I didn't have any memory power. I couldn't study. And I was, I had such an introverted character. So I thought I was not qualified. You know, my actual prayer titles, my wishes were that I would become a great, excellent elder to help the needy and to do the work of God. I was praying so much to become a good elder, but it was totally different. So that's why I was going to the mountains for many months to hear the word of God, to voice of God once again. You know, I was asking, if it is really the will of God, let me hear the voice of God once again. And after a couple of months, I heard the voice of God again and determined to become a pastor. And I got a separate room for myself, a very small room. And it was a little dark, like a, something like a dungeon. And there were even some insects coming out. You know, at that time, there were, you know, cockroaches were everywhere. And, you know, my children, now they are pastors, but the children, they would bring me, bring to me the meals from home. And as soon as I obeyed, God blessed our family. The shop was doing so great, and we paid back the debt in such a short time. And since then, we came to help, came to be able to help others until today. And I prayed that I would become a good elder. I will help the widow and orphans, and I wanted to help the others. And all my prayers were answered. It's just that I didn't become an elder. But it's elder is better than elder. A pastor is better than elder, and I'm sorry for the elders, but God answered all my prayers anyway. Sometimes I knew that I was going to collapse if I didn't take a rest right at that moment. But even at those times, I could not rest. I could not be at comfort or physically rest, thinking, what if the flock becomes weak? What if the enemy devil snatches away the sheep? Also, I wanted to ease the burdens of the workers who had weak faith, and I could not just watch the things that were going on in the church. Furthermore, in order to accomplish the will and providence of God for this church, I could not be at ease at all. But it doesn't mean I was fulfilling my duties, being coerced to do it, feeling it is hard. I only felt if I worked a little harder, the church members would be happier and their souls would prosper more. I was very happy about that. I was delighted to accomplish the kingdom of God beautifully and give glory to Him. Above all, with the love of the Father God that was being poured out on me continually, and with the love of the church members, I was comforted from time to time and I could fulfill my duties. I hope you will also overflowingly experience this kind of love and power of God by being faithful. Also, I pray in the name of the Lord that none of you will face a tragic end by neglecting your duties like the lazy slave who had received one talent. I pray for the sick right away. Heavenly Father, lay your hands on them. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them spiritual and physical health. Father, give them spiritual and physical health. Answer to the desires of their hearts. Answer to their prayers and petitions. Let the eyes see well. Let the ears hear well. Let the, all the internal organs be healthy. Heal all the cancers, last stage cancers, lung diseases go away. Tumors in the uterus go away. All problems go away. Skin diseases go away. Be cleansed. Father, heal all the germs, viruses, burn them with the five of the Holy Spirit and cleanse them. Give them peace throughout this week. And give them, protect all the church vehicles and church members' vehicles and let them make no mistakes. Lord, thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.